You know, I'm going to pick up on what I started talking about last week, except we're going to come at it from a little different direction. And if you weren't here last week, I talked about the kingdom of God is not of this world. And we talked about Isaiah 52 and a few of the verses there. And you know, we talked about all kinds of stuff. I do rabbit trails really good, so I'll try to be good. But I love the Lord. I love God. He's, you know, I'm glad he loves me. And, you know, I met Jesus 52 years ago. You know, I was a little pot-smoking hippie back in the 1960s and early 70s. And, you know, just doing all the dumb stuff that hippies did. See, I know I cut my hair. And yeah, a little too much. Well, you know, you hang on to what you got. But, you know, and you know what's really neat is I was not looking for Jesus back then. I was doing the opposite. I was looking for whatever party was coming. I was looking for whatever was looked exciting and fun, you know, but it was never exciting and fun. It was for a minute, and then it got bad. Things happened. People got hurt, right? People went... Things happen. You know, some of you guys in here, you know, you probably have friends that are dead right now because of drugs or alcohol or something stupid. You know, I had a whole bunch of them like that. One of my best friends, a kid I grew up with, he lived a few doors up, grew up in a small town, and we used to play together and everything. Well, one night his buddies pushed him out of the back seat of a car. He OD'd, left him in front of his parents' house. They found him the next morning laying in the street. You know, and as horrific as that was, it didn't change anybody. We just kept right on going. Well, it's tough luck, Brian. But you know, but that's what darkness does for you. Makes you blind, right? You can't see things. You don't understand what's going on. And that's why, you know, when Jesus came, you know, the book of John, great book. First chapter, he was the light. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world, talking about Jesus. What does that mean? Well, he lets you know that there's something else going on around here. It's not just physical, like the world would like you to believe. You know, you watch all the shows, we're just a big accident, cosmic accident. You evolved from a little slime in the ocean or whatever, and you know, went through the transition of being a monkey for a while, and... you know, and here you are, sitting in church. Hallelujah. You know, if you believe that, let's talk, okay? And, but that's not true. You're made in his image. You're somebody incredibly special and wonderful, and God cares for your soul, so much so that he sent his only begotten son into the world to die for our sins, so that he could come up to us and go, hey, Cameron, hey, you want to follow me? You know? Yes, Lord. Right? He does it to all kinds of people. He's still the same Jesus. You know, one of our scriptures should be on the wall somewhere. It's not. Shame on us, Four Square Church. Hallway. Oh, hallway, okay. I know. But it's Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And by the way, that is a true verse. If that's not true, then we're all blowing smoke here. But if he's the same Jesus, then he's the same Jesus that saves our souls. He's the same Jesus that walked the earth and went up to Peter and Andrew and John and all those guys, goes, come and follow me, come and follow me. Okay? I'll make you fishers of men. You guys are pretty good fishermen, but I got a better job for you. Isn't that cool? He's still the same. Whatever he did back then, he still does now. I'm so glad he's that way. So, I guess I should get into my sermon here. Yeah, we serve a wonderful God. Light always brings truth. Light brings illumination. Light lets you see things that you normally wouldn't see. Right? And the problem that all of us struggle with, Jesus nailed it in John 3. He said, this is the condemnation, right? He said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. You wouldn't die without salvation. That's what that word perish means. It doesn't just mean you're going to die. It means you die without God. That's not good. Okay? But he wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Well, that's a good promise. And then the next verse says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did Jesus come in the first place? So we could all be saved. That's God's mission. That's his mission. That's his purpose. That's why he's still in the world. The Holy Spirit's still in the world, going all over the place, going, hey, hey, you want to listen to me? I got a message for you. He came to save you. He did save you. One of the things, I've told you this before, but one of those things I like to say when I do a jail class or introduce myself, say, I'm Kenny. I got saved 2,000 years ago, but I didn't find out about it till 1972. And that's the truth. I didn't get saved when I believed. I got saved when Jesus died on the cross. When God put my sin on him. Amen. That's when I got saved. That's when you got saved. What happens when we finally go, oh my gosh, Jesus, you already did this. Thank you. And yes, yes, you can clap. And we feel his forgiveness and we feel his grace and we feel his presence. Like, oh God, the peace, like Tuan was just talking about. That passes understanding. You cannot get that in this world. There's nothing in this world that will give you the peace of God, ever. There's things that we do to get peace, or try, right? We've all been there, done that. But there's only one peace of God that passes understanding, and you only get it from him. Anyway, sorry, I'm kind of rambling here a little bit. But I love God. I'm glad he loves me. I wasn't looking for Jesus, but he was looking for me. And the day I prayed, and I just prayed a very simple prayer. I didn't know how to pray. I'd never prayed in my life. I wasn't raised in church. I never read the Bible. I was absolutely clueless. But the one day when a friend of mine said, do you want to pray? And I went, yeah, I do. I didn't know how to do it, but I prayed a very simple prayer, but I was very serious about what I prayed. And I just said this, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, I want to know. That was it. That was my prayer. But I wanted to know, are you real or not real? And he let me know. And that was 52 years ago. And I'm here to tell you, he is the real deal. The real deal. Nothing like we sang that song, wonderful song. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Yeah. So, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Oh, Dan, can you? Oh, thank you. I love Dan. He's like the Holy Spirit back there. He's just making it all happen, you know. And anyway, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight? But now is my kingdom not from hence. And we talked about that. From a political perspective last week a little bit, the idea that, and I wanted to kind of correct myself, or at least correct some people misunderstood me. I think we should be political, right? You're a citizen. If you're a citizen of the United States of America, vote, okay? I don't care who you vote for, but vote. Be a participant. Don't just complain, right? A lot of people complain, oh, blah, 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 right? Well, vote. Do something. Get active, okay? However, we're also citizens of the kingdom of heaven, correct? We're citizens of, your actual identity forever is heaven, right? If we're born of God, then you're a naturalized citizen of heaven, correct? That's what this whole thing's about. Salvation isn't just about getting religious and trying to be good. That's not what we're talking about. We're born into a kingdom. We're born into this realm of God, that lasts forever. And right now, we only see it in part, but we're still born into that, and you're our naturalized citizen of heaven. Jesus bought and paid for your citizenship. You want to see my card? But you know what? That's what we're all about. And so the things of heaven then, just like, you know, the Constitution guarantees you certain rights and privileges, in the kingdom of heaven, this guarantees you certain rights and privileges. Come on. You know, we can pray for the sick and what'll happen? Yeah, we can preach the gospel and what'll happen? People get saved. You know, we can pray for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Guess what happens? They do. right? There's certain things that apply to us that don't apply to the world. And so the more we engage and pay attention to our citizenship, the more good things happen. Right? You know, this is the old adage, if you want a bigger crop, plant more seeds. I don't know how to do this. Well, the more things you sow, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So the more things you plant, guess what? The more stuff you're going to reap. Anyway, I'm off on a big tangent here. So we're not going to talk about political stuff other than, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's our focus. That should be our focus because the church is the body of Christ. And that's not a figurative thing. That is a real thing. Correct? We're all part of Jesus. I shared a few weeks ago, I was preaching a sermon about where in Ephesians 5 it says, we're bone of his bone, we're flesh of his flesh. What does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says it means. Jesus became a man. He became a human being. He had DNA. He became us. We're part of him and he's part of us. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. Isaiah 9. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to rabbit trails. So what I want to look at a little bit today, and we're going to keep going with Isaiah, but the idea that God's kingdom is not physical in the sense that we think it's physical, right? That's part of what we struggle with. I live in a physical world. I can see physical things. God made my eyes so I can see physical stuff, right? I can smell physical things. I can taste physical things. That's the thing. Spiritually, we use different senses, right? But the idea here is that the kingdom of God, the Jewish mindset or the Jewish idea of the kingdom of God was Israel. Just so you know, that's kind of how they thought. God made a promise to Abraham that you're going to get this land. I'm going to give it to you. And so that's their idea of the kingdom of God. And in reality, that is their promise. And they're there now. So God kept his promise. Yay. Okay. But that's about it. At the end of the day, what they got promised, God gave them. Even though they kept rebelling and running away from God, God would, correct them for a while, and he'd bring them back. Here's your land back. I told you I'd give it to you. Here you go. And then he'd rebel again and get worship idols and false gods, and God, okay, you're going to have a little time out here. And he'd take them away for a while, and then he'd go, okay, now time to come back. And okay, and they're back for a while. And the last time this happened was when the Romans came in and took Jerusalem and just trashed the place. Took the Jews out to the farthest reaches of the Roman Empire and turned them loose and goes, okay, you're on your own, guys. See ya. And for almost 2,000 years, Israel was not a nation or not a physical nation. They were still a people, but they didn't have a country. But good news, because God's God, in the last days, says the Lord, I'll bring my people back from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And, in our last 70, 80 years here in the world, that's exactly what God did. He brought them all back from all over the place. And now they're fighting, okay? God's faithful. But what I want to point out about all this, why I'm going through this, is that what they did in the natural, the church does in the spiritual realm. For example, when you read the book of Exodus, it's a story about God delivering his people from Egypt, right? Pharaoh is this super authority, cruel king. He's making them all slaves, works them to death, right? Everything they do is for him, okay? Well, he's the type of the devil. Anybody felt like that's your life? You were a slave to something? You wake up every day, you're a slave to something? You're not free, this... Whoever, you don't even know who the king is. You never met him, but he's oppressing you every day of your life. But somebody else came along, a greater king, and said, hey, let my people go. I love that. God told Moses, go and tell them, let my people go. Mine. They're mine. And Pharaoh's like, what are you talking about? They're my people. okay, let's fight. And, you know, it's a great story, but the idea is that what happened to them in the physical, we do in the natural, or in the spiritual, okay? They got delivered from an earthly king, we got delivered from a spiritual king. The Bible says Satan is the god of this world. Every one of us had some kind of bondage in our life. Sin ruled our every thought all day long, our thoughts, our actions, our words. Sin just ruled us, and it sucked. We didn't know any better, right? All of us were just, I don't know, I hate this life, but I don't know how to get out of it. Until another king came along and went, hey, Scott. And, you know, we answered. Our Moses came to us. Moses is a picture of Jesus. He came into his own. His own didn't receive him, right? Moses, you're making it hard on us. You're making things harder, not better. And Moses was probably, but the next day God said, nope, go back in there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Stretch your rod out over the river, you know. Stretch your rod out over the desert, whatever it was. I'm going to show you who God is. Anyway, so you get the idea. So when we talk about some of these scriptures, we're talking about us walking in this world. But we're really walking in the kingdom of God. And so that's why I wanted to... am I making sense? You guys tracking with me? Okay. All right. So next verse, please. So last week we talked about this a little bit, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Okay? I can't wait to see his feet. You know, it's interesting in the book of Revelation chapter 1 when it describes... You know, John turns around, he hears a voice like a trumpet, and he turns around and he sees this being, his hair is white like wool, his eyes are a flame of fire, and he gives this description of the glorified Jesus. And he fell at his feet as dead, but he could see his feet. And they were like shining brass or, you know, molten bronze. They were just glowing. How beautiful are the feet of him. But what I want you to see is he walked something. Feet are important parts of our anatomy. And I told you this last week, that he brings tidings of good, that he publishes salvation. The word for salvation is the Hebrew word Yeshua, which is coincidentally Jesus' name, that says to Zion, your God reigns. And so why did he have beautiful feet? Whoever he's talking about here, because he had a message that was beautiful. He had something to say. He brought something to us that was really precious. Wow, that guy's got pretty feet. But it was the good news. And so, you know, it's not a coincidence then when Jesus, you know, after he finished his ministry and he rose from the dead, he rounded up his disciples and he told them something. This is Matthew 28. But he said what? Go into all the world. How do you do that? Yeah, one step at a time. And it doesn't matter where the world is. Doesn't matter if it's in China or the room in there or outside the front door. The whole world is the mission field. When he said go, he's saying, look, your neighbor, your friends, your family, I don't care who it is. Come on, feet, let's go. I got a message. And you know, it's interesting is it isn't... Yeah, anyway... I got too many rabbit trails going on. Okay. Next slide, please. So, you know, we fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, we're talking about walking in the kingdom. You know, the word walk is in the Bible a lot, especially in the New Testament. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and what'll happen? Anybody tell you? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know? Easy peasy. Well, walking in the Spirit sometimes can be a little difficult, but it's not. Right? The flesh wars against the Spirit, but the Spirit wars against the flesh. And good news, he's way bigger than our flesh. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus is a big Savior. Anyway, so we're talking about walking in the kingdom. And so way back in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses told everybody, he said, every place where on the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And so this was a promise that was clear back when God told Abraham, this land is going to be yours. Every place they walk in, it's yours. So after 400 years in Egypt, they're all slaves. They think like slaves. They're not sure what to do. But Moses said, look, you guys, he's still keeping his promise. He's given you this land, and every place you walk is yours. Okay? Now, again, we don't walk in a physical kingdom, but we do walk in a spiritual kingdom, okay? So where we walk or how we walk matters, right? Because we have a message to tell. We have a purpose in this world. And then, you know, God repeated the same promise after Moses died. Joshua was going to bring the people in, and he said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you. So, you know, and there's a little example of this, I think, in the New Testament in Luke 19. You don't have to turn there. But it's a story when Jesus was in Jericho, and he's walking down the road there, walking through town. And this little guy named Zacchaeus, he was a short man, it says, and he wanted to see Jesus. And so because he couldn't see over the people, he ran up to a tree and he climbed the tree. And, you know, this guy was a tax collector. He was probably wore some pretty nice clothes. You know, the guy was a tax collector. He had position. It wasn't a good one in Israel. They didn't like him very much. But he climbs this tree. All of his pride just kind of went out the door, and he's up there. And so Jesus is walking along, and then he stops, and he looks up in the tree and goes, hey, I'm supposed to be at your house today. Right? Opportunities. You know, where we walk, how we walk in this world, we're looking for what God is doing. You know, one of the ways to be successful in this world as far as being a believer is find out what God is doing and go there. Yep. Pay attention to what God's doing and do what he's doing. Right? That's how this thing works. Faith isn't, you know, I'm going to make something happen or I'm going to go do what I think I ought to do. That's not faith. Faith is just saying, hey, what's God doing? I'm going to go there. And you know what? It works. It really does. So, where am I here? Yeah, so, you know, walking matters, which direction we go. And, you know, I was in Luke 15, there's also another Luke story. There's a story about the prodigal son. This guy had two sons. And one of them took what he had, took all the father's wealth and privilege and whatever he wanted there, and he walked away. He went the wrong direction, right? His feet were going this way instead of this way. And if you know the story, he got out there in the world, and he had lots of friends, and he partied on, and then pretty soon the money ran out, and his friends ran out. Everything ran out. So pretty soon he's out feeding pigs, and he's looking at the pig food going, dang, that looks kind of good. He's hungry. He's broken. He's tired. And that's kind of what happens, right? Sin does that to you. It takes everything. It takes everything. And so anyway, the prodigal son, finally he has the thought, hey, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back where I belong. In my father's house, the servants are living better than I am. I'll go back and be a servant. Okay, so the prodigal son gets his feet going in a new direction, right? Instead of walking away from his father, he's walking toward his father. And you know what? That's exactly what you have to do. And that's really all God ever wants is for us to walk toward him, not away from him. I'm glad you guys are in church today. That's part of walking toward God, believe it or not. You know? It's easy to, you know, because all of us, man, all we like sheep have gone astray. We all went our own direction. But God's going, I hear that voice. Bah! So, you know, and so if you know the story, the prodigal son started watching, or heading home, and he had to walk, you know. But as he got closer to home, his father saw him. And what's not immediately apparent in this story is that in the Jewish culture, any Middle Eastern culture for that matter, The elder never come to the younger. The younger come to the elder. They bow down. You know, if you're the grandpa or whatever in the family, you are honored. You're reverenced. People bow down to you, right? They bring gifts. They do all kinds of things, right? They're honored. But in this case, the father saw his son, and he just pulled his robe up and took off running, okay, which is something else that they normally would not do. But he got there, and his son was like, right? And he had a pretty good little speech prepared, but his father just grabbed him and held him and threw him around, and yay, my son is back. And he didn't care about the money he blew. He didn't care about anything. All he cared about was his son. And that's how God thinks about us. Yeah. Doesn't care. You know, like I told you a couple weeks ago or so, you know, where you've been is not nearly as important as where you're going. And this kid was coming back where he belonged. And so in the middle of all this, you know, it's the kid's trying to tell him, I've sinned against you. And, you know, he's trying to repent. But the father says this. Next slide, Dan. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Okay? And I just wanted to point this out because shoes are important. And just so you know, in the Bible, and I'm going to just touch on this, not everything, but the robe always has to do with the robe of righteousness. He covers you with something other than what you're covered with. The ring has to do with authority and power. The ring, a family ring or a kingly ring or whatever, it had a signet, right? It had a little design in it or whatever. It's called. That's where we get the word signature. You sign your signature. You're the only one that has that signature. Well, that's what a signet ring was all about. It had a mark. And a king could put that mark on a document and it became official. It belonged to the king. You can't change it. Well, that's what God does to us. He puts his Holy Spirit in our lives and he marks you. He does. He puts his name on us. He puts his mark on us. And then the shoes have to do with restoration and ownership. And I just get, there's a real cool example of this. Next slide, Dan. This is in the book of Ruth. And remember, we're talking about the kingdom we live in, the kingdom we walk in. Okay? I won't go into the whole story of Ruth. I better hurry up. But Ruth was a Moabite. And she had married a Jewish man, and he died, and she came to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Things didn't go well for them. But she ends up meeting this guy named Boaz, and she fell in love, and Boaz fell in love with her, and so they wanted to get married. But in Jewish custom, if your relative, your brother, died, then it had to be the nearest kinsman or the closest relative, brother, that would have to marry you and bring up children, because that's how you kept your land. That's how you kept the promise. Well, anyway, it's a great story. You can read it later. But it says, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming or, you know, getting restored, buying your property back, so to speak, and concerning changing or exchanging, could be. This is a real estate transaction, okay? She owned some property. Her late husband owned property. And to get that back, they had to do something. He would take his shoe off and give it to you. Now, why the shoe? That's your real estate deed. That's the deed to your property. Why the shoe? Well, because every place the sole of your foot walks is yours. And so the shoe became a symbol of ownership of the property that God gave you. And so that's why we walk in the kingdom of God. Everywhere we walk is mine. We possess. Isn't that what faith is? Isn't that what faith that we're supposed to grow in Christ? What does that mean to grow in Christ? Well, we possess the land. We possess more of what God's already given us. What's really cool about this whole thing is Jesus gave us his shoes. And one more verse here. You got, maybe you didn't catch that. In Revelation chapter 1, he's barefoot. John can see his feet. Anyway, but I'll show you what that looks like here. So the Lord God is my strength. This is from the book of Habakkuk, depending how you want to pronounce it. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. He will make me. Okay? What's really neat about hinds there is actually talking about a female, a doe or a female gazelle. But they have this unique ability to put their back feet exactly where their front feet were. Okay? So wherever their front feet are, and then they have to leap like if they're trying to climb a cliff, and they're really good at that too. There's some videos out there about gazelles climbing cliffs. It's mind-boggling. But they even though they can't see them, their back feet go exactly where their front feet were. And when I was studying this, I was thinking about Jesus. He's called our forerunner in Hebrews 6. He went before us. So wherever he steps, we step. Wherever his feet went, our feet went go, right? You know, one thing, a long time ago when I first was saved, and God called me to move to North Carolina, but I didn't know that initially. And one night I had a dream. Two dreams, actually. In one of the dreams, I saw these footprints. I was standing somewhere, and it was pitch black. And in the, you know, and I was just standing there, like, I don't know what to do. Everything's dark. And then a footprint lit up. And as I stepped into it, then the next one lit up, and I stepped into that. And then the dream ended, and I realized. The next day, my pastor asked me if I wanted to move to North Carolina, and I went, yep, I know what I'm supposed to do. Okay. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to have dreams and you're going to see footprints, okay? But we walk, you know, if you read the Word of God, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And really, why do we read the Gospels in the first place? Why do we read about Jesus? So I can walk where he walked. I know what he did. And we can do what he did, right? That's a whole nother sermon. Okay, I'll hurry. I'll try to hurry. Next verse, please. The watchman shall lift up. Now we're back in Isaiah. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. As we pointed out last time, you know, this is the whole idea of unity. That's what this is all about, right? The initial one, the gospel is the good news. How beautiful are the feet of them. They bring something. The gospel is the beginning. You got to start with that. You don't know the good news, everything else doesn't matter yet. And then the next one is discipleship, right? Learning how to walk in this world. But this one's about unity, about being part of the body and all that. But the watchman shall lift up the voice. I had a bunch of scriptures on watchmen, but I'll just say this. The watchmen were the guys that paid attention, right? They're the ones that are looking. They're paying attention to what's going on. They're up on the wall. In fact, if you look up the Hebrew word for watchman, it means someone who leans forward. Right? They're leaning, they're up there, you know, what's going on out there? And they see this guy coming. It has pretty feet. But that's our job as watchmen. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, Chapter 3, God said, I have set thee as a watchman on the wall. It was the watchman's job to warn everybody. If there was an enemy, if there's something coming, hey, everybody. But you know, God wants us all to be on the wall. He wants us all to be looking, right? Not looking at what's going on in this world, but looking what he's doing. And then Psalm 102, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. I love that, you know. And then next slide, please. And many nations shall come. So all of these promises initially were for Israel, but he's also including the world, the Gentile world, all the nations of the world. That's why we go into all the world, preach the gospel. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us. He will. That's a promise of the Holy Spirit. That's what he came to do. The new covenant. I will teach you. And we will what? Walk in his paths. For the law shall go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Without going into a whole big long thing, Zion, if you'll see that name in their lot, it really means primarily God in the midst of his people. There was a particular area of mountains in Jerusalem that David took when he became king. It's called Zion. Mount Moriah is part of that. That's where the temple was. And, you know, I don't want to get off on a big long thing here because it won't make sense to you. But we're watchmen. Next one, Dan. This is back to Isaiah 52. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. I think I shared this last week, but I don't remember. But the word for kinsman in Ruth, when you read about the kinsman redeemer, the Hebrew word for kinsman and the word for redeemer are the same word, which is true of Jesus. Right? His name means the salvation of God. So who he is and what he is are identical. That makes sense. He's the kinsman. He's our nearest relative. He's the one who redeemed us. I never noticed this before, but as I was studying this, and I think you could go to the next slide, which is Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I never noticed this, but in John 14, when Jesus was talking about what was going to happen to him, he's talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. He's trying to explain to them, I'm going away, you guys, right? And they're like, where are you going? You know, we've been together for 3.5 years. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come. But I'm going to send another comforter. That's King James. Some versions will say helper. But I'm going to send another comforter. A comforter. What's the comforter do? He comforts. How does he comfort? Hey, Twan, your warfare is accomplished. It's over. I won. You've been redeemed. Your sins are forgiven. You've been pardoned. That's what the comforter does, right? When he comes to us, that's what he says. Hey, Clark, you're forgiven, dude. 100%. Not 50%, not 75%, 100% forever. That's good news. That's what the comforter comes to do. Why do we want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Because he comforts. He tells us all the things that Jesus had to say. Wow. He helps us to walk, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God that's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, man, that's so cool. I love God. Janice, somebody, band, whatever, who's coming up? Yeah, I have more, but I'm going to quit right there. I want to invite anybody that would like to come up and pray. I especially want to invite Cheryl. Cheryl's struggling with some issues and health things, and so we want to pray for her in the name of the Lord. And anybody else, if you got something going on and you want prayer for, just feel free, okay? Because that's why we're here. We're here. Jesus is here with us. And that's why we pray. I don't pray in the name of Kenny, ever. Yeah, because it would not go well. But we can certainly pray in the name of Jesus because all power is given in his name. So God bless you guys. There's going to be some goodies in the back here. But blessings. Father, thank you for your spirit today. Thank you for your word. It indeed is a light to our feet, a lamp unto our feet. Lord, light unto our path. We know where we're going. We know where we are. So, Father, we're just grateful for your power, for your love, for your salvation, for your redemption. Lord, you don't quit. You never give up. Father, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, Lord. So just have your way this week in our lives, Lord, and answer prayers, Lord, for those that need things in their lives, Lord, that you have for them. We just ask for your provision in every way, every shape or form, Lord. Thank you for that. You're a good God, Lord. You're a good shepherd, Jesus. You know exactly where we are and what we need. So thank you. Thank you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.